Hey, fellow traveler. Welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, starseeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. Today, I'm so excited to bring you a conversation with the beautiful Christy Avis. She is so magical. She and I are in a mastermind together, and she just has the best energy. So Christy is a 5-1 manifesting generator, Leo. That's her human design. She specializes in human design, alignment, frequency attunement, and she is a business coach. She stands for energetics and strategy, human ascension and enjoying being human, deep impact and making fuck tons of money. Hell yeah. So Christy, I'm so excited to dive into all the things with you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I am so freaking excited to be here.
Yay. Okay. So I would love to start out by hearing kind of more about you and like, in your words, in your bigger words than the nutshell bio, like who you are, what you're up to these days, and where you are in the world, and kind of like how you got here through the lens of your spiritual awakening journey.
Yeah, 100%. This is such a deep question. So yeah, I'm currently in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm definitely going to be moving to a beach someday because the water is calling me. But yeah, a lot of what I do is within the realms of human designs, energetics, and business strategy coaching. And my business was really the portal for my awakening. So I used to work in corporate America, and I just, my body was shutting down, and I knew it wasn't for me. And I was really pulling very hard hours. I was drinking four cups of coffee a day. I was starting to have a lot of health symptoms, and I had good jobs, right? I had good jobs where I was actually like underqualified to have these jobs. Like I should have had a bachelor's degree. I only had an associate's degree. So I moved really, really fast within corporate and had a job that most people at 40, 50 years old would be happy with. For reference, I'm 26 years old. And I just felt this feeling within me of you should be happy. You should be happy with this. This is exactly what your whole life you were told would make you happy. And so I kind of really shut down my intuition at that point. I really shut down the pieces of me that wanted more within my life because this was exactly what the American dream looked like, right? I was making the money. I was in the job. I had the stability. And yet I just felt this piece of my soul kind of slowly dying as I tried to convince myself to be happy, as I tried to convince myself that I would be happy waking up at 6 a.m. every morning, getting ready for this job, looking business professional, going in, working 10 hours a day, going home exhausted and just having no time for anything. And I thought that was going to be my life until I was 65 and was able to retire. So a huge part of my spiritual awakening was that I finally started listening to that desire, right, to leave corporate and to not settle. And it was very, very, very scary for me. And I really went into my business and the business world from a very strategy strong place because I had worked in marketing. I had been a graphic designer in corporate. And so as I did all these things and started building this business on the side, just within the business strategy piece, just within being a virtual assistant and within graphic design, I realized that strategy wasn't it because I was doing all of the right things. I was doing the posts. I was doing the masterclasses. I was doing everything that everybody told you to do. And yet it felt like nothing was working. And so what happened is I told the universe, I was like, I'm going to do this no matter what. Like I need help. I'm burnt out. I'm working this job and trying to build this business on the side. And I ended up finding a program on law of attraction. And this was my first intro into, whoa, there's more to this than meets the eye. There's more to this than just showing up and writing a post. There's energetics going on underneath the scenes. And that was kind of something that started to spur this deeper awareness within me that it's not about what we do. It's about who we are when we're doing the things. And I had this realization that my energy, like I was going through anxiety. I was going through depression. And so what happened was, is this really spurred this deeper desire within me to understand all pieces of energy and to start to work through trauma and to start to work through all of the energetics that had led me to the point where I was having these negative thought forms come up and just kind of in a space of really following strong strategy. So long story short, I moved through law of attraction. I started to understand that. I started investing in energetics, and I moved from my business, or from corporate to my business full time, which was incredible, but I was still very, very, very burnt out. And this was one of those pieces where I finally understood that this was me, that I was calling this into my reality, that it wasn't life doing this to me, that I was an energetic match for being burnt out. And so I dove deeper and found human design. And that was a huge piece of my spiritual awakening. Because at first, when I found human design, I really intellectualized it and I really like understood all of the concepts, but nothing changed within my life. But as I started to embody it, I started to understand that, oh, being a sacral authority, my sacral is my actual connection to the divine. This is my actual connection to my intuition. And so as I started following that, I started having higher and higher cash months. I got certified. And basically, that has been the thing that has changed everything for me, is actual embodiment of the energetics and the human design. And now I study the gene keys, and there's all of these different pieces and all of these different facets that have really led to my awakening. And I've had like multiple awakenings along the way after that point in time, in terms of being in tune with the present moment and learning about the Sophia code and embodying different levels of energetics within me. And I just feel like it's a continual process of awakening at this point that I cannot stop. I cannot slow down, nor do I want to.
Yeah, totally. I think, well, we were talking before I hit record about how like, I think it's the same with spiritual awakening. We were talking about our spiritual or our healing journeys, but that there is no arrival point. And when you can like accept that, then it becomes easier to soften and open to it. Like, I think we still go through the phase, like even in spiritual awakening, where the next level, it feels scary and kind of unsafe to our nervous system. And we contract around it. We kind of fight it. And we're like, no, I was happy where I was. Like, I don't want these new initiation portals. But yeah, but when we realize like, oh, this is just it. Like, it's just initiation portal, integration, and embodiment. Initiation portal, integration, and embodiment over and over times infinity for the rest of consciousness. Then it becomes easier to kind of like chill out and lean into it.
Oh, 100%. It's like, until you realize that there's no point of arrival, it can feel hard, but it's fun when you realize there's no arrival and you're like, okay, this is just part of it. And pieces of you die and pieces of you become more aligned. And it's just a continual process.
Yeah. I would love to hear what your definition of embodiment is, because it's a word that if you don't really understand it, but you're hearing it all the time. And like, I really believe that embodiment is the key, as you were saying, to actually like experiencing the shifts and changes. But to you, what does embodiment mean?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because even when I talk about like the intellectualization of not only human design, but energetics, people really get into that mental space with it, where it's like, ooh, if I learn my incarnation cross, if I learn this piece, it's going to change my life. But when I talk about embodiment, it's the actual beingness of it. And so when I think about embodiment, I think about it as a lens that gets closer and closer to us as we practice it. So when new information comes into our field, it's like that lens is very far away from us, and we start to practice it, and the lens gets closer and closer and closer to us until we become one with the lens. And that's what I really believe embodiment is it's this beingness that comes so naturally that it's like you are embodied in something when it's just you, when there's an isness about it and there's not that like mental reaffirmation of like, how do I do this or how do I become this thing? It's just integrated within you. And I really do believe that that comes with intentional practice, because as you intentionally practice something, there is still some level of separation between you and that thing. But as you get closer, you embody it. And that's not to say that there's not going to be more power portals for you to walk through within that thing, because there's always a deepening being required within us. But as you become one with it, those portals are things that you're going to walk through that deepen that integration even further. And so that's really what embodiment is. It's the beingness instead of the learning. It's the beingness instead of the intellectualization of something.
Mm-hmm. I love that. What a beautiful description. And like, that's really how I perceive psychic development, like the activation of our psychic gifts. I actually believe that we're kind of, most of us are walking around activated already, and we just don't know it, because it's so subtle. It's such a subtle realm of information that it's really easy to receive it. It's kind of like, you know, when we have a dream that feels meaningful and we're like, oh, wow, blah, blah, blah. We just think about it, but we don't really tell anyone or we don't write it down. It just like, it fades away. It just disappears.
Yeah.
But as you like write it down or speak it out to somebody and like let yourself be changed by it and pull it into your physical embodied life, then it anchors into your being. And it's like our gifts are already there, but we actually have to like pull them into practice.
But yes.
I think that's what you're saying about like human design and gene keys and the energetics of manifestation and just like aligned living, basically.
Oh, 100%. And yeah, it's so subtle, the language of your intuition and all of the things. Like I actually had an acupuncture appointment yesterday, and the acupuncturist was looking at my stomach and she's like, oh, you had a belly button piercing? And I was like, yeah, a few days ago, I just felt like removing it. And she said, you do know that was blocking your central channel, right? And I was like, no, I didn't know that. But it was like my intuition was so, so subtle, but I didn't realize it was my intuition until that moment. Before that, it was just a feeling, right? And it's like, it is so subtle.
Yeah, totally. That's a really cool illustration. I'm glad that you shared that, because that's exactly it. It doesn't necessarily feel like the, you know, the clouds parting and God's angels coming down with trumpets and giving you like the message like on a billboard with flashing neon arrows. It's like just a thought, and you either pick it up and do something with it or you don't, and it just disappears. That's really the language of our psychic abilities.
Yes, it's so subtle. I love that so much. Yes.
So I would love to talk about human design. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people in my audience that are familiar with it, but I'm sure that there are some people who have never heard of it. So can you give sort of like, and gene keys too, because I'm super, super interested in the gene keys, but can you give sort of like a basic level explanation, and then we can go deeper into some of the aspects of it that really light you up?
Yes, 100%. So gene keys is an aspect of human design, and they're both so beautiful. And when I think about human design at its simplest core essence, it is a blueprint for how you are meant to operate within the world. So it's such a powerful way for you to understand how to be in energetic alignment when you're in your misalignment theme or feeling or emotion, when you're in deep alignment. And it teaches you how to not only sense the right direction for you within your body, but also how to interact and how to basically call in the things that are aligned for you. So a lot of people, we have been deeply, deeply conditioned to operate out of a mental space, right? Out of the pros and cons list, out of logic, because that's been something where our ego has tried to keep us safe, right? Our ego tries to keep us safe based on past experiences and then projects that into the future. And this is why so many people feel disconnected, and they feel disconnected from what their deeper desires are. But when we start to realize that the mind is very limited and that there's actually an intelligence that exists within our body, within our biofeedback, and we start to listen to that, we are literally opening ourselves up to the quantum realm and quantum possibilities in that moment, where we skip over logic and we take the path of least resistance to our desires, to our goals, to the things that we want within life. And it's like this internal blueprint of never knowing if you should say yes or no, because it's just like you know from your body what a yes or no is for you. You don't have to justify it with logic. You don't have to go through the frustration of trying to figure out everything with your mind. And what happens is your mind's able to suddenly take a back seat. And all of a sudden, all of this overthinking and all of this fear gets to take a back seat because you are deeply in tune with where your body intelligence is leading you. So that's really the power behind human design, is learning how you uniquely tap into that. And we have different human design types and different strategies and different authorities within our human design that goes a little bit deeper into that specificity. But that's the main point, is really starting to understand that there's a new paradigm here, where our body leads the way instead of our mind. And the reason why we've experienced so much frustration in the recent years and even in the recent generations is because we've tried to stay in this mind-led paradigm, but it's gone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's amazing. So taking you as an example, like you shared with us that you are a 5-1 manifesting generator with a sacral authority. So the 5-1 is your profile. The earthing generator is your aura type, and sacral is your authority. So like you're explaining, the sacral is that place where you, in your body, in your field, that lets you know whether something is in alignment for you or not, like whether to move forward with it or that it's not for you. Correct?
Totally. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so within that, I'm tapping into my sacral constantly and consistently, knowing if something's a yes or a no for me. And there's different types of authorities. There's emotional authorities, splenic authorities, self-projected, there's mental, there's all kinds of different things. And so within these different authorities, you will learn what your yes and no is, and you'll be led from your body into what is right for you.
Yeah, which is such a gift, especially to, as you were saying, like overthinkers, like, you know, the people who are in analysis paralysis, like, yeah, all the time. Like, I think about my husband, like, he's so weird. He's so gifted. He's a massage therapist, but he is super, super like a gifted healer with the understanding of body mechanics. But like, he can feel with his fingertips, like, what is wrong on a really deep level. And so he knows that he needs to become an osteopath. He knows, but he's in analysis paralysis. Like, he just thinks about it forever and thinks about all of the, like, his ego mind is trying to foresee all of the variables to make the decision. And I'm like, honey, just do it. Just go for it. But yeah, so it is a huge gift to understand, like, where in your body does your actual wisdom live that tells you, without having to waste that much energy, whether something is for you or not.
Totally. And it's funny because as you explained intuition, it's like, it's kind of the same thing with human design, because it really is your intuition. And a lot of people are getting the subtle sensations. Like, I would say everybody's getting the subtle sensations from their body of whether it's a yes or a no. But like I said, it's subtle. So what happens is you feel that little bit of a pull towards something, or you feel that little bit of a push away, but we ignore it because we're so trained in the mind. We go straight up to the mind, and then we're like, yes, no, what do I need to do based on what people will think of me? What do I need to do based on what feels logical, what feels safe? And we literally pull ourselves out of that response. So it does take, like you said, in intuition development and psychic development, it's very much the same, where it takes that intentional tapping in, because this is a subtle language that you're training yourself to recognize, because our biofeedback, it's always responding. It's always responding to the external things within our life. It's always responding to if we should stay up really late and work on a project, or if we should go to sleep, if this person's right for us or not, if this project is right for us or not, if this life path is right for us or not. And when you follow that, you're literally on the path of least resistance. I found that oftentimes within our mind, we create our not self theme. We create that extra layer of resistance because we didn't follow what was right for us. And sometimes it's like, our mind is going to want to take us on the path of A plus B equals C. But what if we really want to go A, G, Z? That's what's possible with human design. That's what's possible with following the body.
Yeah, totally. I love that. And what aspect of, because, okay, so for anybody that doesn't know, human design is like a multi, like we just talked about three, like the profile, the aura type, and the authority, but there's like gates, channels, incarnation crosses. Like there's so many factors to human design, to somebody's human design chart. What part of it is really exciting to you that you're just like, when you get a chart, you're like, I want to dive right in here. And this is where like the gold is for you.
Totally, totally. So my literal favorite thing is like looking at somebody's chart and kind of looking at the centers that are defined and undefined, and obviously understanding what their type and their authority is, because that's like the baseline, right? And so when I'm looking at somebody's chart, I'm able to tell like, oh, well, if you're in the higher frequency of a defined will center, you're going to feel really like lit up. You're going to feel like that person who's just like, I'm here. Here's me. I'm competing with myself. Like I'm ready to be the center of attention. And when you're in the low frequency, you're going to be somebody who's super competitive and comparison-y. So I'm looking at those different channels and those different centers and really looking at what's defined and undefined. And it's fun because I love human design because it's way different than like a personality test, right? It's way different because it's like there's not an isness about it. There's an isness within your chart, but that doesn't account for the conditioning. Human design accounts for conditioning. So it's like within having the same center defined or defined in two different people, that will manifest in completely different ways depending on their conditioning, right? And so it allows for us to bring in those higher and lower frequencies of different things, different expressions. It's like that story of two kids who grow up with a drunk father. One of them becomes an alcoholic and the other one never touches it. The same is accounted for within human design. And so it's a big process of deconditioning. But my favorite thing is really looking at these different centers and talking to people and figuring out like, oh, okay, you have this expression. Okay, you're going to get stuck in overthinking here. And this is kind of the pieces how these things are going to work together within your biofeedback, right?
Cool. So, okay. So can you take a center as an example, like what the difference would be between a given center that is defined or undefined?
Yeah. So within kind of looking at the centers in the chart, when we talk about undefined and defined, there's a lot of different things in the human design industry that will say like defined is better and undefined, you're open for more conditioning, right? Because our centers are constantly either taking in or putting out information. And so when we talk about defined and undefined, defined is really where your natural strength and your natural power lies. So let's say you have a defined throat center, you're going to have a natural strength and power for speaking. That being said, if you have an undefined throat center, that doesn't mean you're not going to be a powerful speaker. There's just a possibility for more conditioning there, but that's not a negative. There's a lot of wisdom that comes up in undefined centers because you've absorbed so much from so many different people within those centers that as you decondition, you translate that to wisdom. So somebody with an undefined throat center would be really powerful at speaking for other people, speaking for the collective, right? And so it's the same with all of the other centers. Somebody with a defined head or a defined ajna, which are the two centers up top, those are going to be people who are in the highest frequency. They have consistent ways of thinking and they're really capable of inspiring people. And if it's undefined, it's not that you don't have consistent ways of thinking. You're just thinking in a lot of different pieces, a lot of different ways. There may be conditioning of overthinking there. And so it's just kind of really looking at like, okay, how can I utilize and tap into my natural power from the defined centers, and how can I look at where there's deconditioning in the undefined? Because there's going to be conditioning, whether it's defined or undefined. It's just typically at different levels, and it really does depend on the conditioning you grew up with the people who are telling you, oh, don't listen to your intuition. Oh, you should be a people pleaser, these different things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll use myself as an example. I can't remember these aren't the only two undefined centers that I have, but there are two that I remember. I have an undefined head or crown, like the very top one, and I have an undefined root. And so at my crown, I feel like actually it's a total bonus because like you were saying with the throat, it's like I'm constantly just tapping into the collective energy. It's like my own energy isn't really in there. It's more like, woof, what's going on with everyone and everything. But the undefined root, I feel like, is full of conditioning around having to, like, just, there's all these things that I have to take care of before I can relax. All these things that have to be done. And And it's so funny because all of my children and my partner all have defined roots. So yeah. I'm always feeling their needs. I'm so aware of it all the time. And they're all like, Mom, what's up? Like, relax. And like, you know, they're just not operating on that level. But so I agree, like, undefined doesn't necessarily mean that there's all this like bad conditioning that comes in, but it does. I can totally feel how there it's like an empty space. So other people's shit can fill that space if you're not aware of it.
Yes, 100%. Like there's nothing positive or negative about defined or undefined. And I feel like sometimes that's missed within the human design industry as like, your undefined center, your undefined head is such a superpower because it is such a beautiful channel for you to even be able to read people's minds and for you to be really, really powerful psychically, right? But that's not to say that somebody who's defined wouldn't have those powers, right? It's like this really beautiful, it's a both and kind of energy. And yeah, with that undefined root, like some people with undefined roots can move really, really fast and be very in tune with what's for them and what's not for them. And also that center can be very shadowy where it's like, it feels like you're trying to relieve pressure externally by checking everything off of your to-do list. But how often is our to-do list ever fully checked off?
It's never.
Literally never. Which can be so frustrating in those shadow frequencies of that because you're just feeling this constant like pressure. And so that's where we step into like deeper layers of deconditioning. And when I talk about all of the centers, it's so beautiful and so powerful to learn about your different centers and always go back to your strategy and your authority. That's the guiding light, because I found that when we connect back to our own strategy and our own authority, it's like, even if there was a possibility of feeling pressure, I would know what my yes and no is. Even if there's some deconditioning coming up within a defined or undefined center that isn't my strategy and my authority, I naturally dissipate those charges by getting into my strategy and my authority, which are the leading sources within human design.
Mm-hmm. Okay, amazing. So can you talk a little bit about what the strategies are like? So we talked about authority being the place in your body that tells you like, yes, this is for me, or no, this isn't for me. What is strategy? Tell us about.
Yeah. So strategy is really your way of interacting with things outside of you, right? And it's typically within people and it's within events that come in. So me being a generator or a manifesting generator, your strategy is really going to be response. And so that response is something that is constantly, constantly happening. So you're not meant to go out there and make things happen, right? You're meant to be in a space of response. And then you decide if that's a yes or a no for you. That's how you're actually meant to interact with things within the world. And it gets a little bit complicated because there's certain biofeedbacks and there's certain channels that are activated where sometimes you can move in more of an initiatory response, right? It's not as black and white as people make it. When you make it black and white in the beginning, because it makes it easier for people to tune into what's in deepest alignment for them. So if I was a projector, for instance, my job is to wait for the invitation. So This is where projectors really, really see where things can be better or where things can be made more efficient or where somebody's possibly doing something wrong. And projectors will want to jump in and say, hey, let's fix this. Let's do this. Let's do this. But if they don't wait for the invitation, they're going to meet resistance. Then that resistance can be frustration from other people. It can be bitterness within themselves, bitterness from other people. When we talk about manifestors, they're really going to be within their strategy. They're going to be initiating. They're the people who are like getting the downloads and going. They're getting the downloads and going, and they're capable of making really big change and having these ideas that are completely revolutionary. And they're constantly initiating within even smaller things like conversations and like going and doing things. They're very, very powerful. And all of these different human design types are very powerful in different aspects. And when you're a reflector, you're really going to be in the strategy of waiting, they call it waiting a lunar cycle, but it's really just within their strategy, they're going to be in the energy of doing what's in deep alignment for them and speaking for the collective, right? That's going to be really, really powerful for them. So all of these different human design types have different strategies for interacting with all of the different pieces of what's in their external world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about strategy, it is very external. It's like, okay, what is coming in and how do I react to it? When we talk about authority, that's the internal like decision making, right?
Yeah, that makes so much sense. That's so beautiful. And I mean, I feel like I'm glad that you mentioned about the black and white, because I feel like when I first started learning about human design, it was on somebody else's podcast. Might have been the To Be Magnetic podcast, but I can't remember for sure. But I remember a lot of projectors being like, well, what am I supposed to just like wait forever until I receive an invitation? But I heard somebody talking about it once who, and that's the black and white way of viewing it, right? Like, oh my God, I'm a generator or a manifesting generator. I can only respond. I can't come up with a new idea myself and start it. I have to wait to respond. Or if I'm the projector, I have to wait for somebody to invite me. But I heard somebody else talking about it from a business perspective for projectors, but being like, it's like, you know, you want people to come work with you, but instead of you cold calling people in their DMs, you're going to like bake delicious cookies on your Instagram, and you're going to put a little fan behind the chocolate chip cookies and waft the smell out and just be like, it's good over here. Come on in.
That is so cute. Yeah, that is exactly what it is. It's so fun because there's never an inaction in us when it comes to being in alignment, right? We do the things that we love, and then the invitations naturally come in. Like, especially for projectors, I kind of compare them to Gucci, because it's like they have their store set up. Right. They are loud and proud about the thing that they're offering, but they're not like trying to force people to come into the door. It's just like they are so in their power about what they're selling, what they're offering, that people naturally come in. And they're living their lives until the moment where people come in. They're very loudly and proudly talking about the thing that they offer. They're not sitting in a corner like, hey, please work with me. Hey, waiting, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I love that. There's never an inaction for anybody's strategy.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And that's one of the things, one of the nuances within like wait for the invitation and wait to respond, where it's like even the word waiting kind of insinuates something different than what the actual alignment action looks like, where it's like nobody's actually waiting for anything. You're moving, you're enjoying your life, you're living your life in your deepest alignment. And so it is just invitations. It is just responses. The waiting energy isn't actually present within us, right?
I feel like maybe Ra Uruhu, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think what he was saying when he used the word wait, or what like when that word came through him, is like not operating from scarcity programming that causes you to go for things that aren't actually in alignment for you, but letting yourself say no and just like chill until the things come in that you're like, yes, that is for me.
Yes, that's exactly it. And I feel like it can get misinterpreted. It's just this energy of like, instead of needing, you're waiting for the thing that's in deep alignment, but you're not like sitting in a corner waiting for that thing that's in deep alignment. You're out living, you're enjoying your life, you're living in alignment. And from that space, naturally, you're going to pull in the things that are deeply aligned for you, that are yeses and nos, where you can say no, you know?
Yeah, totally. So let's pivot into business energetics. And I'm kind of assuming, but it's based on what I know of you from our mastermind conversations, but that like one of your favorite applications of human design is helping people to like supercharge their businesses so that they're not wasting a bunch of time and money and energy using strategy that doesn't actually harmonize with their authenticity.
Yes. Oh my gosh. 100%. And I love combining human design with energetics in terms of strategy and business, because I find that if you only tap into one, there's a misalignment. And so within strategy, there's a lot of people who are doing things out of shoulds, have tos, pressure, and force. But if you think about like shoulds, have tos, pressures, and force, what happens to your aura within those moments that you are operating out of that space is your aura is contracted. Right. And so what happens is when people are doing and operating in their businesses from these energetics, they are literally shutting down their aura and creating a feedback loop where they have to overcompensate in the 3D to see results. They see some results possibly, and then they create this feedback loop where it's like, oh, in order to get results, I need to overcompensate. And this is where a lot of entrepreneurs are actually stuck in burnout cycles and starting to feel really disconnected from their businesses. And so it's like the energy is when you combine these pieces, you move from your human design first and you apply strategy that is in alignment with that. Because when we do that, we get to keep our aura expanded because we're in deep alignment with our yes and our no. And when I talk about aura expanded, that's the energy of being open to the yeses and the nos. That's also our magnetism. That's how other people feel us, right? And so when we're magnetic, then all of a sudden, we're doing a lot of the work in the 5D. And so the 3D work feels deeply in alignment. And so we're not overcompensating. We're not pushing. We're not working hard. And we do work, right? We do things in the 3D, but we're not overcompensating in the 3D to get things to work. And so if within this space, when we talk about doing what's in alignment within our human design, we're keeping our aura expanded. We're open to the possibilities and we're not trying to railroad ourselves through logic. And that's what I see when a lot of people apply strategy without having the underlying energetics or having the underlying alignment to their human design, is they go into a place of logic. And that's from the mind. They see logical results. It feels very hard. It feels very overcompensating in the 3D. And then they're wondering, how do people get these crazy, crazy results? How do people leap? How do people manage to run a business when it takes this much energy and effort from me? And it's like, when we tap into human design and energetics first and then create strategy based off of that, you're doing a lot of work energetically, right? So it's not as requiring as much effort from you in the 3D.
Everything flows so much more smoothly. And it's like, also, I think when people are trapped in that, you know, when they're perceiving everything through the lens of mental logic, cognitive logic, and going through that cycle of like pushing, it also, I observe that it ends up looking like a lot of strategy hopping, because strategy, like, you know, just because a strategy works for one person, it doesn't mean it works for everybody. Otherwise, there would be so many more successful people. If it was simply just like a plug and play strategy and that's all that it takes, then, you know, we would be living kind of in a different world, but it's
totally
hasn't worked like that. So, you know, people, and I know this because I did this at the beginning of my business. I was like, what is the strategy? What is the strategy? Like, I need to, you know, what do I need to do transitioning from being in like more of an employment sort of situation to being in my own business? It was like, who do I answer to? What do I do? Like, where's the list of the things that I'm supposed to do? And I would do them, and they wouldn't really yield any results because, well, first of all, I was operating out of total scarcity and fear, but also because, you know, certain strategies just aren't in alignment for me. And I noticed other people are doing the same thing, just hopping from different strategy to different strategy, and then starting to internalize this story of like, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe my business idea is a bad idea, or maybe like I should just go back and get, you know, go back to my old job or get another job or whatever. But actually, it's just that, like, yeah, strategy is the thing that you've figured out that works for you, that you can sort of like repeat and get better at. Like, you know, so you're not having to reinvent the wheel every single time, but you kind of got to invent, in a sense, your own wheel in the first place. And it
totally
be in alignment with you and your energy and your personality and your gifts and all that stuff.
Yes, 100%. And the more like I dive into this with people, it's like strategy is actually very simple. And it's like any strategy can work for anyone. But if there's misalignment within that strategy, if there's shoulds, have tos, if you haven't done the energetic work of really starting to transition out of scarcity and out of fear, you get in a feedback loop where it's like, oh, I tried and it didn't work. And then I kind of expect it not to work. And that's where we see a lot of people doing the strategy hopping, where it's like, well, I'm going to try this, and never actually diving into the deeper underlying reasons of how they actually feel about those strategies, how they actually feel about the things, because it's one of those things you said in the mastermind we're in together. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard, is like calling the bluff on the matrix. if you're operating in this energy of strategy to see a result instead of creating the solidity within your being that you're going to see a result and then you're going to operate from a certain strategy that feels aligned, you're going to feel like nothing's ever working and it's going to be this self-perpetuating cycle. But when you really are just in the energy of this is working, this is inevitable, I'm in alignment with my human design and I'm calling the bluff on the matrix. It may not be in my 3D reality right now, but I'm going to execute this strategy from those solid energetics, from that alignment to my human design, anything will work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the thing too, that I feel like people get hung up on a lot, myself included in the past, and sometimes in the present too, like I still have to remind myself of that, right? When in the things I'm working on, like I have to call the bluff on the matrix too, and be like, wait a minute, Amy, you know how this works. But it's like, there's always in this realm as humans, there's always a manifestation lag. Always, 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 always. It's just there. So it's like, don't freak out and abandon ship because you're in the lag. It's kind of like, I had an analogy and it just kind of fell apart in my head. So I'm not going to bother trying together, but it's like if you're the quantum organic computer that is rendering reality, that is rendering the matrix, and there are infinite potentials, literally infinite potentials to render, but you have to wait for the reality to render itself around you. You can't pull the plug before it has rendered and then be like, see, it doesn't work. Because then all you're going to render is the same old shit that you don't want to be experiencing anymore. So that's where it's like really just holding the frequency and holding the faith and operating in alignment, like you said, out of like solidity inside and out of a strategy for our actions that is in total alignment with like who we actually are and the results that we want to see. But we have to like build the results in advance. Like Abraham Hicks called it pre-paving. That's it. You have to pre-pave things, get it set up so that your reality can create itself in response to you. But it's always going to be a lag.
Yes, 100%. And that's one of the most powerful pieces. It's exactly what you said. It's like a lot of people are doing this. And I did this in the beginning too. I tried a strategy and then I waited for validation. I waited for the results. I waited to see if this was going to work instead of pre-deciding within my energy that this was inevitable, that this was going to work. And then that solidity and energy gave me the power to call the bluff during the void. Because if we're always panicking and losing our shit in the void, then we're always kind of giving away our power, right? Because it's like this energy, and I don't believe we can give away our power. We're just not really recognizing that we're the ones leading, right? And we're in this space of like, well, I'm going to follow the response and I'm going to feel good, or I'm going to decide based on how things work. But it's like, oh, we can't actually do that because we're the leader and we forgot that we're the leader. So when we're the leading energy, we're able to go into a space of like, I understand there's going to be a lag time. I'm still going to hold the energy even when I'm going to keep the plug in, even when it doesn't look like the results are here, because all of a sudden the results will be there if you're holding that energy, if you're staying in that, I'm the leader here, right? And part of it is like, that's why diving into human design, you know your yes and no, so your mind can't take you out, right? You know the solid energetics and you're anchored into those. So when the strategy, when you're executing it and you're in that lag time, you're not freaking out going, oh my God, what if it doesn't work? Oh my God, what if it doesn't work? And even if you are, you get back into that deeper alignment and understand that there's an in-between that you're always in. You're always in the in-between.
Yeah, totally. It actually, while you were talking, it like reminded me of going head-to-head with a three-year-old, because it's like, So when you're going head to head with a three-year-old, like the three-year-old has such strong willpower. It's the age of will. It's like where I have a mind of my own. I have things I want to do. And I am not interested in just deferring to your authority because you're the adult and you say I should, right? So they're not really willing to budge. And when you're going head to head with them, it's like, if they represent the external matrix and you're kind of like wavering in your power and you're like, are you going to obey me? Are you going to respond to me in the way that I want to? They will win 100% of the time. But if you as the adult stand strongly and be like, I am in charge. I am the authority. I don't have to lose my shit. I don't have to yell at you. I was just like, my no means no. And I will say it over and over and over until you, you know,
yeah,
resolve your will and match mine. Like, it's like that. It's the same thing. It's like, you can't, if you give in to the external matrix, it will win.
Yeah.
And it will run your show. But it's not because you don't have power. It's because you kind of like subjugated your power to the thing that you're, you know, wanting to change.
Totally. Yeah. It's, I love that example so, so much because my best friend has a 3-year-old and I know exactly what you're talking about. And sometimes there's a give in there and then the 3-year-old just willpowers its way through whatever it wants, you know?
Yeah.
And totally. It's just this energy of like, sometimes we forget that we made the first move and then we think we're in response to our reality, but we're actually leading it. And so it does take this line in the sand moment where if you do feel like things aren't working and you feel like nothing's adding up, it's like this line in the sand of like, I created this. I took the first move. And so it's like, if I took the first move, what move am I going to make now to change things before things change outside of me? Because if we're always waiting for things to change outside of us before we change internally, that's where people see really logical results, if they see results at all, because it's just like we are the leading energy, right? And when we take charge of that and step into that leading energy and that energy of just like, I made the first move. And so this is a reflection of that move I made. What move do I want to make now, even if nothing changed outside of me? And it will.
Totally. Or people will just like not make any moves at all. Like they won't even get started because they're waiting for the thing to, you know, change outside of them first, which I think is like the biggest bummer when people just stay in that space of never even stepping onto the path of actualizing the magnitude of their potential because of conditioning. But that's what we're all working through, isn't it?
Totally. It really is. It really is. Then it takes courage, right? It takes courage. And it also takes a deeper understanding of like, This is a matrix, and it is, sometimes our brains will make things so serious in terms of the fear and in terms of the scarcity, but it's like when we start to really see the underlying of like, we're all reflections of an ever expanding universe, we get to like take the weight off of how serious we make things and start to play a little bit and start to make that first move. And when we have this understanding of our body intelligence versus our mind, and not associate with every thought as being us, every fear as being us, and just being stories that sometimes our ego says to protect us, then all of a sudden we're able to move with a little bit more of that courage of like, you know, I'm going to trust my body here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Will you tell us about the different ways that people can work with you or find you if they're interested in what you're saying, interested in learning more about their human design, business energetics, gene keys, any of the things?
Totally, totally. So if you are brand new to human design and you've never heard about it in your life, I definitely recommend looking at your chart. One of the sites that you can use is mybodygraph.com. Just type in your information, you'll be able to figure out what you are. And so when I tell people about human design, something I really recommend you don't do is you don't go down the rabbit hole of trying to learn all of the things yourself, because that is... that is the recipe for over intellectualization, a recipe for thinking that something's wrong with you, and really just not having the support necessary to understand how beautiful your human design is. So definitely work with a practitioner if you're looking to dive deeper. I have programs for generators and manifesting generators. I also have programs for projectors. And I also have deeper dive masterminds and one-on-ones that you can work with me in. And if you are in that space where you're looking to learn some of the basics of your human design, definitely go join my free Facebook group. It's called Aligned Ascension for Spiritual Entrepreneurs. I've got tons of free trainings in there that break down things in a way where you're actually going to be able to embody them. And I also have this program, my signature program, the Six Figure Aligned Ascension Academy, So that's a space where if you are somebody who really wants to combine strategy, energetics, and human design and embodiment to create a six-figure business, that's the space to come play to kind of do all of the things together.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing. And of course, your links will be in the show notes for everybody. But if you feel drawn to working with Christy, I 100% recommend it because I hear her multiple times a week and the energy that she brings, she's so committed to this path that she's on. Like this is generally the lens through which she interprets like life and everything. Is this a human design and energetics and strategy. And she's very, very committed to leaning into her own edges and, you know, calling the bluff on the matrix, basically. So she's an incredible leader.
Oh, thank you. It's been such an honor to talk here today.
Yes, you too. It's been a joy. And also keep your eyes out because I also know that Christy is creating a podcast. She's in the process right now. So I'm sure that there will be all kinds of goodness coming down the road for everybody.
Yes. Oh my gosh. We'll have to have you on the podcast as well. I'm so excited.
Well, thank you so much, Christy, for your time and your wisdom and your perspective today.
Hey, my beautiful friend. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Third Eye Awakening. If you like what you heard and you want to go deeper, then head over to my website, amybelair.com, and check out my store, which is full of my past programs, courses, modules, masterclasses, light codes, etc., that are powerful and they are potent and they pack a punch, not gonna lie. They are here to support you, accelerate you, and activate you in your spiritual awakening and psychic development journey. And/or, if you want to stay in my most current, vibey, live energy, then I suggest that you head over to the Patreon and join me there. At the lowest tier level, which is only $5 a month, you get a secret bonus episode for every Third Eye Awakening episode that goes out. You also get a weekly energy report and light language activation, and you get a new moon and full moon emancipation transmission. So those are some fun ways to play, and I'll just remind you that I always have live programs going, so keep your eyes on my website, on my social media, and here on the podcast to find out what is the most current offering that I have. Either way, I love having you in my world, and I hope that I get to meet you and work with you soon.